Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the BusinessCast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see Tramping Lake, Saskatchewan. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, we have a treat. Julian Bolster is with us. Julian is a serial CEO. He's an executive coach, Bolster Life Group. Julian Bolster, B-O-L-S-T-E-R, JulianBolster.com. Julian, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You know, you are such a varied guy with so many interests and so many things to say about coaching and mentoring and CEOing that I really want to focus in on one of your core areas of expertise, which is startup frustrations. But let's step back a bit. Tell us about yourself and why you're known as a serial CEO.
I suppose I fell into business in a serial way. I think the same way a lot of people do. I had so many interests and passions, and it was hard to limit myself to just one thing. I am a serial entrepreneur, a CEO, because I have a lot of ideas, and I just can't walk away from too many of them. So over the years, I've built up to the point where we have six companies that I'm running now, and we're in the process of launching another. That's pretty much how it came to be.
So let me ask you this before we get right into startup frustrations. As you build and launch companies, seeing as how you're a little bit, let's get one and get it running, let's get another, get it running, do they run into each other? Do you ever drop the ball on the success of one because you're more excited about something else coming down the pipe?
Sure, absolutely. That happens quite often. It doesn't tend to last very long. So I may get really wrapped up in the problem of one startup or one business for a week or two before I really feel the ache to go back and deal with some of the other commitments I've made for the other startups. I would say it's a natural vacillation. It's a process that seems to ebb and flow. I don't seem to have a balanced focus between any of the companies. I feel that it sort of goes half a day, 2 days here, and then I stretch back to deal with something in the other company.
Well, I think that leads right into our core questions for today, because that sounds a little bit frustrating to me. We do want to talk about startup frustration. So let's start with this. Are there common elements, Julian, that you see generally frustrating startup entrepreneurs?
Well, the traditional elements would always be time and money. This is something that we obviously see a lot of, and it would be what we would expect to see. But I'm going to add two on that I think are even more relevant now than ever before, and that would be vision and visibility. The startup entrepreneur is typically described as someone that has a vision for what they're trying to do, and they have a lot of passion, hopefully, behind that vision. Trying to get others to hold on to that vision, trying to get others to share in that passion tends to be a challenge because people, at least the younger generation, they no longer want to work for a work mill. As I normally say, they don't want to work for a place where they just sell the time for money. Employees now more than ever want to belong to something that matters. We're very much in the age of the startup. And I think younger employees have this very romantic idea of belonging to a company that stands for something and is out to do something big. So entrepreneurs who have a vision for their company, trying to get everyone else in the company to hold true to that vision, especially when that vision doesn't appear to be something very sexy in the moment, can be a challenge. The second frustration that I would touch on would be that of visibility. In today's global marketplace, where consumers and businesses are inundated on a daily basis with so much competition and so many different providers and players in the marketplace, it can be very challenging to stand out. I think that's a big frustration I come across all the time is how do we really cut through the noise and how do we establish visibility in our marketplace?
Well, you've given us two interesting channels with frustration hurdles. The first being internal employees, our own HR resources. Second being the marketplace. Let's go to the first one for a second. Is there a technique that an entrepreneur can use to get his people back into the vision?
Well, I think there's a number of techniques, and the right technique is going to depend on the situation itself. Generally, though, I think the new entrepreneur, the new business leader, has to lead with a sense of vulnerability, and they have to lead with a sense of personal investment, meaning that they are willing to roll up their sleeves, go into the mailroom, fix a machine. They're willing to start at the coffee bar, serving coffee to guests. I think the flatter that you can make your organization, when an organization has a very flat bureaucracy, it allows for a lot more visibility of the employees, and the employees can see where they fit into the whole organization. So I think if I were in that situation and I was trying to solve the issue of all of my team players really holding true and understanding what the vision of this company is that we'd be trying to create, I would want to start by flattening the bureaucracy and making each and every individual in the organization visible and having them take on the vision of the company in a very personal way, rather than it just being a motivational motto plastered on a poster that's hung in some lunchroom in the back of the building. You want it to be something that people can personally relate to and they see themselves being a part of. And that would lead me to the first tip I would give: decentralize leadership. Again, traditional thinking, and these are the paradigms and the role models that this generation grew up with, which is looking to the CEO, the owner of a company, being somewhat above the employees, going off and handling business that's far more important. I think the organizations that are going to be succeeding are those organizations where leadership is decentralized. What do I mean by that? Gap Adventure Travels would be a wonderful example of a small to medium-sized company that has successfully created decentralized leadership. I remember working with an individual there on a promotional tour I was doing years ago, and that individual had the title of CEO, and that was Chief Expedition Officer. And there was about 15 CEOs in the company. And it was more than just the title, because that individual, that employee who was only maybe 3 years out of school, that individual was given the opportunity to create the role as they saw best, to go out and bring their ideas to the boardroom table, to really contribute not as an employee doing labor or work, but as a thought leader stepping up and contributing. And you could see the effect that had on the employees. They were personally invested. So my tip to anyone listening to this podcast: first thing you want to do is decentralize leadership and give everyone in the organization an opportunity to feel like they are a leader of their own particular area.
Now, would you say that there's something that distinguishes entrepreneurs that are not stymied by frustrations, that they always find a way to get up, get over the hurdle, move around the hurdle, move the pieces on the game board? Is there something different about those entrepreneurs in their DNA?
Well, that's a great question. And I would have to say, in their DNA, no. I like to believe that all people share an equal potential to be an entrepreneur. But I think, to the point of what you're saying, there is something that those particular entrepreneurs that you're describing, something that they do consistently that I think can be directly attributed to their success. And that would be their ability to operate outside of the box, to not be limited by their beliefs and the model which I run all of my companies by, the idea of anything is possible. I think that typically entrepreneurs can approach business in one of three ways. They can fix a problem, they can manage a problem, or they can create a solution. Now, fixing and managing limits you to dealing with a predetermined number of pieces. Like if I came to you with a Rubik's Cube and it fell apart in all of its, say, 30 pieces, and I would ask you to fix it, you'd work with the 30 pieces that you have, and you would put those 30 pieces back together. I think an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, as you're describing, is someone that would find pieces that weren't even part of the Rubik's Cube and use them to achieve the success of putting it back together and making it work. I think those successful entrepreneurs are ones that are willing to create rather than fix or manage. And that's certainly something that I try to encourage in all the leaders that I coach. I try to get them back in touch with that creator within them and really make the work exciting, not heavy and negative.
You know, entrepreneurs and their businesses come in all sizes, shapes, and stages of growth. Are there tips in getting over frustration hurdles that you could share? You've given us a couple, but let's look for a couple more that we can apply to companies and entrepreneurs in any stage of growth, from startup to almost at the point of I'm ready to sell because the VCs have supported me so well.
Absolutely. I'll give you three right now that I think could be used for anyone in any one of those situations. Number one, outsource. there's no need to reinvent the wheel. If there is a company out there that can do what you're trying to do in-house, but they can do it that much better, outsource to them. It's one less thing for you to focus on. Entrepreneurs should be focusing on what it is that they do best, what it is that they're there to do. A coffee company should not be invested in designing their own back-end billing system. Find one out there that already works and focus on making great experiences, making great coffee. So number one, definitely I would say outsource. The second tip I would give for anyone, whether you're a successful company that just finished your first Series A or even your Series B funding, or to the frustrated entrepreneur that's trying to break through, not to sound like I'm promoting coaching, but get a coach. There is nothing more powerful than an outside perspective. You know, there's this wonderful coach that I worked with in Israel, and she had this great expression. She said, it's hard to read the writing on the label from inside the bottle. Sometimes you need someone outside of your perspective, outside of your viewpoint, to show you things that you simply would not be able to see otherwise. The minute I hired a coach in my own business, I went from where I was, which I thought was just beneath a glass ceiling, to about 9,000% growth. And we kept that up for 3 years. We soon became the largest of our kind in Canada. And as I said before, sold out to my billion-dollar competitor. So since then, I've made it a personal practice of always having a business coach as part of my business strategy. The third tip, probably not what people are going to expect. You need to invest into your own sense of balance. A lot of entrepreneurs fail to understand the economy of energy. And I'm not talking about hydro or petroleum. I'm talking about the economy of energy within yourself. I think there's almost this unspoken doctrine that suggests that if you want to be an entrepreneur, you're going to have to work 75-hour weeks. You're going to have to forego all those things that would somehow make life more enjoyable and relaxing. I believe in doing almost the exact opposite. I think you need to invest into yourself so that you can have great energy and great reserves in order to go off and gift those to the business. You should invest in your own sense of balance, whatever that may be for you. Maybe it's going for a walk, going for a run, healthy eating, great exercise, renewing and restoring friendships, maybe friends and family, maybe taking in a yoga class. But definitely when you invest into yourself, you're a far better entrepreneur. You have better problem-solving skills. Your ability to respond to problems is quicker. Everything about you as an entrepreneur is just that much richer.
Well, I got to tell you, having heard all these things, and you and I have not spoken before, and we talked for 10 or 12 minutes, you have a book out called Roadmap to Success. It's an e-download at julianbolster.com. Why would our listeners want to download Roadmap to Success?
Well, that's a great question. I wrote this book not with the idea of becoming a world-famous author, but I wrote it because I had a message, and I felt that message was really pertinent, and I was passionate about it. And here's the funny thing about passion. As a motivational speaker, I meet people all the time, all around the world. I was in the Middle East just a few weeks ago, inundated by passionate people. There's no shortage of passionate people in the world. What's really disappointing, though, and frustrating, is that I find passionate people all the time that don't have a plan, that don't have a process for turning that passion into something tangible, into real. In fact, passion can actually slow you down in life. Passion without process is like gas without a car. So if you don't have the tools and the skills to turn that passion into something, it's actually going to slow you down towards your intended goals. Roadmap to Success is really a number of key strategies that you can use, that any entrepreneur can use, and apply to your life to achieve the success that you want. I think they're fundamental skills that have helped me achieve incredible success in business. And these are strategies that I've employed hundreds of times in over 26 countries around the world. I would recommend Roadmap to Success for any entrepreneur who's looking to sort of push the envelope on their own potential, and any entrepreneur that believes that they're just capable of a little bit more, but they're not quite sure how to unlock their future. It would be a great book for anyone that wants to achieve that. And I think that probably speaks to the majority of people that be listening to this great show. There happens to be a great offer, as you were saying, on my website, www.julianbolster.com. There's a great offer. If you go to that website, you put in your email address, and you can actually download that ebook for free.
Well, I can't wait to get it. I'm going to start downloading it right now. Julian Bolster, serial CEO and executive coach, Bolster Life Group, julianbolster.com. That's where the book is, Roadmap to Success. Julian, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to doing this soon.
Oh, we'll do it again. Until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to see how anything is possible and push the envelope at a great CA firm, check us out at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Tramping Lake, Saskatchewan.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.